The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now, they are trying to declare Donald Trump anti-Semitic for more recent things that he is saying, including that Democrats who, American Jews who vote for Democrats should have their head examined. A couple of weeks ago, he said American Jews who vote for Democrats should be ashamed of themselves. Why? Because Democrats are selling out their Holy Land. They're selling out Israel. Joining us now is Danny Katz. Danny Katz is a language expert, the author of The Language of Betterarchy, a blueprint for uniting against tyranny. Danny, good morning. Good to have you.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for having me. I'm in shock at those clips you just played. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've been after him for a long time. They'll take anything that he says out of context. They will use it to damage him in order to advance their own agenda. And they're doing it right now. I mean, you know, President Trump was the president that actually made good on a couple of decades of presidential promises to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, to move the American embassy to Jerusalem. You know, Obama promised it, Bush promised it, Bush 1 promised it. Nobody ever did it. Trump came in and did it, and somehow, some way, they're painting him as an anti-Semite based on these speeches. What do you say?
Well, I mean, the word anti-Semite is so weaponized. It's so misused thanks to the ADL and their partnership with Tavistock, you know, the propaganda outlet out of the UK. And so, you know, they utilize this term in the most egregious of ways to shut down discourse, just to shut down conversation. So at this point, it means absolutely nothing. It's just a way to get critical thinkers to be afraid to speak because it's a reputation-destroying label.
Yeah, it is. And that, of course, when you're running for president, the most important thing you can do to a person is destroy their reputation and make them sound like something that they are not. But, I mean, is it out of bounds for him to say, look, if you listen to the policies being promoted by Biden, by his Secretary of State, by, you know, Democratic Senate Majority Leader, you know, Chuck Schumer, all saying we're going to change our policy. We cannot support Israel going any further into Gaza to defend themselves because of the collateral damage. If President Trump says, you know, your families, it's your people who are over there who were attacked on October 7th. If you vote for the people who are abandoning them, you really ought to have your head examined. Is that really criticizing them and their IQs and their, particularly their Judaism? Or is he saying, why don't you look out for yourselves here? Look out for your fellow Jews. They're the ones who are in harm's way here.
This has nothing to do with Jewishness or Judaism. This just has to do with sanity. As a Jewish woman, I find it completely offensive how any critique of American policy with Israel has become conflated with anti-Semitism. It's a complete misuse of the word. And it's like playing on this identity politics, which is really all the left has been leaning on for the past, you know, at least a decade. So it's them playing their dirty tricks and just like getting into the psychology of people of like, oh, I don't want to be accused of being hateful, or I don't want to be accused of being a bigot. Right. And so we have all this like weird virtue signaling around people, you know, defending themselves. The whole thing is so gross. It has absolutely nothing to do with Jewish people, with Judaism. It's politics straight up. I've been criticizing, you know, the United States relationship with Israel for over a decade. You know, when people in the Katrina hurricane weren't allowed to get grant money if they had been vocally critical of Israel. How does that work in a constitutional republic? So, you know, we'll be wise to look at how the phrase anti-Semitism, that whole paradigm, has been used to prop up tyranny and, you know, a really questionable relationship with Israel for a very long time.
Well, I want to try to understand exactly what you're saying. We're talking with Danny Katz. She is the author of The Language of Betterarchy, A Blueprint for Uniting Against Tyranny. Are you suggesting that it is it anti-Semitic to criticize Israel at all?
No.
Can it ever be?
No. No. Israel is a state. It's not a people. You know,
yeah, but it is a Jewish state, and it was established particularly in 1948 as a Jewish state for a reason. And of course, the fact that it is historically for 3,000 years been the holy land of the Jewish people, and it is being, they particularly are being persecuted by so many of their Arab neighbors because of their presence in that land. They're not just, they wouldn't be angry if a bunch of Slovenians lived in Israel. It's the fact that Jews live in Israel that they are complaining about. So how is that not anti-Semitism?
Well, first of all, I haven't been to Israel. I'm not there on the ground, right? So I don't know what that's like. But in my mind, that was set up as a smokescreen to protect Israel politically from doing whatever it is they want to do by conflating criticism of their political actions with hatred or bigotry towards a race of people or a religion. That whole conversation has gotten so muddied. So I don't think criticizing a nation for the military action they're taking, for the way, you know, the apartheid state in terms of the different rights that different people
have.
Wait
a minute. Wait. Hold on. Are you saying that Israel is an apartheid state?
Like I said, I'm not there.
No, answer that question. Don't like I said me. Did you just say that Israel is an apartheid state?
Wait. Bob, I will answer this the way that I choose to answer this. Thank you for
respecting. No, ma'am, I apologize, but listen, I'm the interviewer, and I'm asking a direct question that needs an answer before the conversation can continue. Did you just call Israel an apartheid state?
Right, and Bob, what I'm saying is, as a fellow human being and a guest on your show, I'm going to invite you to respect that I'm going to speak and answer the question the way that I choose to speak and answer the question. As I understand,
no, that isn't how it works. I'm sorry. No, that is not how interviews are conducted. When I'm being interviewed and somebody asks me a question, I answer the question that is asked. And if I then am allowed to provide context afterward, that is a great thing. And that's what I would expect. And I will give you the opportunity to do the same. But you can't ignore the question and answer it in the way you want to, which is to avoid and to deflect the question. The question I asked you is Israel an apartheid state?
That's a lot of projection around my
No, it's not projection. It is reception. I received your words. They came through your phone into my ears. That's not projecting. That's receiving. I received your words moments ago when you suggested that Israel is an apartheid state. You condemned Israel's, it sounded like their military actions as well as a state, and saying it's not anti-Semitic to criticize that. Let me change the question for you then. Are you suggesting that Israel should not defend itself against those who committed the terror attacks of October 7th?
No.
You're not. That's good. Well, good. See, now we're getting somewhere. You answered a question that was directly asked of you. That's great. And for a language expert, I'm sure you should respect that as well. Now let's go to the other one. Did you and are you calling Israel an apartheid state?
Yes.
You are. How do you... Now please give me the context of that. Please defend. Tell me how Israel is an apartheid state.
So I'm not going to defend anything because I'm not arguing with you, but I'm happy to respond. And as I said, I'm not there on the ground. And as I understand it from my research, that Palestinians in Israel have different rights than Jews in Israel.
And tell me what research that you are relying upon to make such a statement.
You know what? My realm of expertise is language, propaganda, how language programs reality. I'm not really interested in getting in some sort of contentious fight. I don't know you. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm an American.
It sounds
I'm
like you do.
There.
It sounds like you do. You are criticizing America's support of Israel as a state. You said that earlier. Now you've called Israel an apartheid state. Now you're going to go there. Well, I'm not a ground, so I can't on the ground there. I'm not on the ground there either, but I can read and I can listen and I can interview Israeli diplomats and I can interview and listen to. I haven't actually interviewed any of the quote unquote pro-Palestinian people there who are critical of Israel, but I can tell you you this, Danny. What you are saying right now sounds like a Palestinian. You are condemning Israel's right to defend itself. You're calling it an apartheid state. You are claiming that Palestinians are being mistreated by Israeli leadership. So you sound like you are ready for a discussion of the political ramifications here and not just language.
So what I'd like to point out is the ad hominem attack and the tendency when we get emotionally ruffled by these, you know, highly weaponized, polarizing issues to attack, right? So instead of talking about my perspectives, my ideas, as a Jewish woman, you just called me a Palestinian. So this is like the example of the issues that we're having in the larger political discourse, where instead of being able to discuss ideas, we sink to insulting one another from an emotionally polarized state. And that is what I'm experiencing.
Calling you a pro-Palestinian is not an insult if you are indeed supportive of the Palestinian effort here.
I'm just trying to have a conversation around language, but it feels like you have a lot of emotional investment in this conversation.
The interview was supposed to be about how Donald Trump has been accused of anti-Semitism for criticizing Jewish Americans for voting for Democrats. You brought up America's support for Israel. You brought up the Israeli state's decision and the political leaders' decisions to do certain things, and criticizing that should not be called anti-Semitism. You changed the conversation from American Jews voting for Democrats and how Donald Trump's words are being called anti-Semitic. You've changed the discussion, Danny. All I did was follow you down the road you led me on, and you literally declared. No, hold on. The conversation is now America's policies in as it pertains to the Middle East and their support of Israel. Are you suggesting that America should withdraw its support for Israel?
What I'm suggesting as an expert in languaging and in propaganda, and I'd love to utilize this conversation as an example for your audience so we can all learn together, these you statements where we're accusing other people, where we're projecting allegiances or labels onto other people are what allow regular sane conversations to erupt into emotionally disruptive, conflict-riddled arguments. So I just love to use this as an example for your audience of ways that are not really useful in collaborative conversation. So I would invite you to ease up on the you statements, on the accusations, on the projecting labels.
For a language expert, you don't seem to be very good at it. I did not accuse you. I asked you. There is a difference. Let me give you an example. Danny, you are opposed to America's support for Israel. That's an accusation. Danny, are you saying you're opposed to America's support for Israel? Is a question. You don't need to be a language expert to understand the difference between those two things.
And what I'm saying, and I'm going to invite you once again, if we could just slow down on the insults. I'm not feeling very...
What was insulting? What was insulting about that question? Danny,
are you
criticizing America's support for Israel? Yes or no?
I'm going to invite you, Bob, if you could just like honor me as a guest on your show, and if we could actually discuss the issues without these projections, I think it would go a lot better. You accuse me of being a Palestinian, period.
Pro-Palestinian.
Pro-Palestinian. Well, that was what you said. I'm not pro and I'm not anti because I don't define myself by these oppositional polarities. I'm an original thinker who simply observes things and makes commentary as they are, but I don't take a stand in terms of an identity construct of being pro or anti.
Let me try to clarify it another way, and let me just ask you this. Do you believe that there should be a ceasefire in the Middle East in this conflict?
I don't have an opinion on that.
You don't have an opinion on that. I mean, you are coming across as an expert on the subject, Danny, but now you're telling me you have no opinion. And again, I'm not even asking for straight, stone cold facts here. As you say, you're not on the ground there. Neither am I. So we can give our opinions. It is perfectly acceptable to do so.
Right.
So you're
saying
with 1,200 people, hold on.
Propaganda.
You're saying, though, that a terror attack on October 7th that resulted in 1,200 torturous deaths of innocent men, women, and children in Israel, which has led to an Israeli invasion into Gaza, which is leading to a lot of collateral damage deaths there as well, in the United States Congress, and indeed in the United States public square, you're a communications expert, in the United States public square, everyone has an opinion. There are people screaming and chanting on campuses and in cities all over America, ceasefire now, ceasefire now. They are pro-Palestinian. Then there are others who are saying, no, Israel has the right to defend itself. They are pro-Israel. Everyone has an opinion. You're telling me that you have no opinion on the matter.
Correct.
All right. Well, interesting. It's an interesting position, but I respect the fact that you have no opinion on the matter. I will say, however, that your critical condemnation of Israel as an apartheid state, and then your refusal to explain how you came to that conclusion, as well as your statement that America's policies of defending Israel are worthy of criticism, I think that is an interesting thing as well. Maybe, the next time you talk with somebody about this, you will be willing to, because you don't want to do it to me, maybe you can explain how you came to those conclusions. Would that be fair?
I'm gonna choose not to answer that. Thank you so much for having
Well, thank you for staying on brand. Yeah. Thank you for staying on brand then and refusing to answer the hard questions. I appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's 11:30.
So
it's 11:30. We're gonna take a time out here. We're gonna kind of decompress after that. The pitch, for the little inside baseball for you here, inside radio, the pitch from the publicist was Danny Katz, author of The Language of Betterarchy, A Blueprint for Uniting Against Tyranny, will speak on Trump saying that any Jewish person who votes for Democrats or President Biden should have their head examined as an allegation of anti-Semitism. That's what we were supposed to talk about. She quickly went into condemning Israel and condemning those who support Israel instead, which is interesting because, as she pointed out, she's a Jewish woman. I don't know her, but it sounds like a classic case of a self-hating Jew if I have ever heard one. And I know many of them.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.